Great to see you back. Delighted that you've had a safe and enjoyable fall break. We're looking forward to our time together. Thank you for leading, Bradley. You know, it takes about four adults to do the job of his one wife. But anyway, we're just delighted that they're all here to bring support and help. Thank you for sharing in worship. Glad you're home. Hope you're well. Terry sent me a link. I think that's what they call it. And I pushed on the button on my phone. And then Chris Emerson started talking. And he started talking about my old friend, Tony. And some of you know Tony a lot better than I do. I knew him 40 years ago. So I didn't really get to know the Tony that some of you knew when he would come here to speak. And so Tony just barely had a little bit of breath left when Chris visited him last before he passed away. And for several of you, today's a hard day because this is the first time you're back since your mom died. For some of you, it's not been long since your dad died. For some of you, it's not been long since your wife died. Cindy and I had a relative, her first cousin, who passed away, and I did the funeral on Monday. So it just seems like death's all around us right now, and we're hurting, and grieving takes time. And one of the hardest things, it seems like, is after a couple of weeks, it seems like everybody else has gone back to what they're always doing, but we're still in shock. And so I want to just take a little bit of time as a family to think through a little bit of that and do an overview of the great promises in the book of Hebrews. So thank you for allowing me that opportunity. Are you saved? If you are, in what is your confidence? Is your confidence in you? If it is, it's a misplaced confidence. So I'm told that Tony did a sermon called "It Is Hard to Be Lost." It's hard to be lost? I was thinking it was pretty easy to be lost. But this is the premise of his study. It's hard to be lost. And so his friend Chris decided to share those concepts, and I've taken this privilege to share them with you. If you understand who Christ is and you're in Christ, then it really is hard to be lost. But outside of Christ, it's impossible to be saved. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me." So it's possible to once have been in a relationship in Christ and be lost. People can be lost who have known Jesus. And the book of Hebrews is a reminder of that, but an encouragement: don't go that route. Don't go that way. You've just finished in the adult class a study of Hebrews, and so hopefully this will be a review for several in the audience. One of the first points that is made by the author is Jesus is greater than the angels. The second point he makes is Jesus is greater than Moses. Moses was a servant in God's house. Jesus is the son over God's house. So, but Christ is faithful as the son over God's house, and we are his house if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. Hold on. There's confidence. There's hope. Hold on all the way to the end. Hebrews 6 may give us some reason for pause. That it's hard to be lost, but it's not impossible. For in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucified to themselves the Son of God and put Him to an open shame. You can receive all the riches of God's grace and still walk away from God if you lose your taste for God. Hebrews 12 is going to remind us that we can come up short of the grace of God. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all men, and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. Esau came up short, as you continue the reading. Because of his bitterness and jealousy, he turned away from trusting God, and he decided to hate his brother. Perhaps on your minds are what's going on in the Middle East. I thought about doing a lesson about that pretty soon. Some of you have asked questions in that regard. And so we're not unaware of some of those tragedies, the warfare that continues for centuries among those who've had some relationship in or around God. We can develop a bitter heart after having an appreciation for God's grace. Let's not let that happen to us. Let's help each other in that regard. Hebrews 10 is reminding these good believers of where they were in the past. Remember the former days, when after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of sufferings, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. It's hard to walk away once you're in Christ, knowing what you have in Him. It's hard to be lost. Don't throw away your confidence. If your confidence is in you, then throw it away. But where is your confidence? Some of us have watched our spouse die or our mother die or our dad die just not long ago. I will, as long as I live, pretty sure I'll never forget the day I took Dad to the nursing home. Mom had died just a few months earlier. It grieved him every day that she needed to be there. But the day I took him to the nursing home, he woke up that morning, and in his bed, while still in his bed, he said, "I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep what I've committed unto Him until that day." Man, that was so helpful. He knew, and he trusted his Father. And he finished well, even in the nursing home. And he only was there about 6 weeks before he passed. People would go to encourage Dad, and they would come out with tears. We came to encourage him, but he encouraged us. He was pointing people to the Lord to the very last. And I know that not all of you have had that kind of a dad. But we have that kind of Father who wants us to come home with confidence in Him. So Jesus, in the last night before He's executed, He's speaking with 11 men who are going to tell His story. One's already walked out. And after Jesus said this in John 17, He looked toward heaven and He prayed. "Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son, that Your Son may glorify You. For You granted Him authority over all people, that He might give eternal life to all those whom You have given Him. Now this is eternal life, that they know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom You have sent." So my question today is, do you know Him? Do you know our great God? Do you know Jesus our Lord? Is your faithfulness a response to His grace or your sense of perfection in yourself? So what Tony suggested in this message, that it's hard to lose your salvation, he suggested five things. Guys, you'll know when we get to number five, we're done. The first thing that we think about is Jesus. Look at who we have. Look at whom God has given us. And Hebrews starts out with, in the past God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days He's spoken to us, as Steve reminded us on Wednesday night, by Son, His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things and through whom also He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. And after He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. God goes to great lengths to see that we are His saved people. Jesus came. He accomplished purification for our sins. He was the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. He is sitting at the right hand of God. So why are we here? Because God so loved us that He gave. That He gave His only begotten Son. That whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If your eyes are on Jesus, and your gratitude is for Him, He's going to be your life. He's going to be your light. He's going to be your bread, your water. Do you know Him? There's a song, "You Are My Life." Bradley, I wanted to just flood you with about 30 songs today, and I knew that was not reasonable. But maybe in a couple of weeks it will be. If your life is wrapped up in Jesus, it's going to be really hard to be lost. Do you know Him? How well do you know Him? The second thing that the Hebrew writer reminds us of is, we got the angels. We have the angels who are less than Jesus, created servants. But Hebrews 1 and verse 14 tells us, "And to which of the angels has He ever said, 'Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet'?" Didn't say that to the angels. Excuse me. "Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation?" I had a friend who said, I don't know much about angels. I don't either. But they work for us. They are ministering spirits for our salvation. You know, Elisha, when the armies of Syria are bearing down on him because they found out he's the informant, and the surrounding armies are all around, and Elisha's servant is saying, "What are we going to do?" And Elisha says, "Don't be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Then Elisha prayed and said, "Oh Lord, please open his eyes that he may see." So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. I don't know all about the spiritual host, but God's army of angels are working for us. Chris went to see Tony just shortly before he died. He could only say a couple things. He could touch Chris's face. Just before Chris left, he said, "Tony, I know you have a lot of favorite psalms. What's your favorite psalm?" He said, "103. Bless the Lord, O my soul." That's been one of my favorites for about 30 years. It was a young man from North Alabama that made it so precious to me because he was struggling with an unnatural sexual desire. And he could just quote it, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. And He is mindful that we are but dust." But the end of Psalm 103 Verse 8 says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Verse 19, the Lord has established His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you His angels, you mighty ones who do His word, obeying the voice of the word. Bless the Lord, all His hosts, His ministers who do His will. Bless the Lord, all His works. You know, it's hard to be lost when you have angels who are servants helping for you to be saved. The third thing that Hebrews reminds us of is that we have a great salvation. We need to pay really careful attention, therefore, to what we've heard so that we don't drift from it. For since the message spoken through angels was binding and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard Him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to His will. All the things that have been, such a great salvation has been given us. It's hard to be lost if you know the greatness of the salvation. God proved it with the signs, the wonders, and the miracles. So how great is your salvation to you? God's grace is not so amazing if our sin is not so destructive. Would you think about that? At the funeral on Monday, Amazing Grace was sung. Grace is not amazing if our sin were not so destructive. That's what makes it amazing grace. By grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any of us should boast. But we're created in Christ Jesus for good works. Our works don't earn us salvation. They're a demonstration of our appreciation for the great grace of God. Our salvation, great mercy. 1 Peter 1 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Great grace, great mercy, great salvation, and inheritance. We're adopted children to enjoy the great blessings in God. But we also have witnesses. I mentioned one. There's Abel. There's Enoch. There's Noah. There's Abraham. All these were still living by faith when they died. They didn't receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. God's not ashamed to be called their God, for He's prepared a city for them. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us, we could be made perfect. Great people like Abel, Noah, Enoch, Abraham, but they didn't get it until it came through Jesus. They were looking for a city. Are we looking for the city? I'm so glad you're keeping your eyes on the witnesses. Not always are those witnesses your family. Sometimes it's somebody else, somewhere else. But we all need somebody who's a little farther down the road who's showing us not only how to live, but how to die. I can remember exactly where I was sitting when my friend Steve said, Ron's teaching us how to die. To die well. And so he did. Abraham believed God and he responded by faith. They were looking. Deborah, I hope this is not too painful, but I was so glad to get to share a glimpse of your mother's life. Barbara Chandler came to the Lord. She'd been seeking the Lord. She came to the Lord as an adult. She walked away from her denominational background, and she sought the Lord throughout her life. Some of you were privileged to know her, and ladies, you had great opportunity to be blessed by her, her knowledge, her faith, her desire to serve the Lord. She told Deborah, I think I'm getting this right, I want to go be with the Lord. I want to go be with the Lord. I often say I want to go home. She wanted to go be with the Lord. She was tired. Her body was giving up, giving out. But her real body with the Lord is what she longed for. Tony Mock mentioned D. Bowman as one of his two favorite preachers. Excuse me. If you ever had the privilege of hearing D. Bowman preach, almost every sermon he ended with, if you miss heaven, I can't do the deep voice, he could. If you miss heaven, you just missed all there is. Still rings in our ears, doesn't it? So one more. We come right back full circle to Jesus. We've got all these witnesses, and then we look at the premier trailblazer. We're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you've not yet resisted the point of shedding blood. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Jesus begins everything, and he's the end of everything. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He endured the cross. He despised the shame, and he sat down. Consider him, and don't lose heart. So I hope, I trust that my confidence is in Christ, his sacrifice, his blood shed for my sins. As Paul brings to a close the opening stanza of Romans, he says, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died. More than that, he was raised to life and is at the right hand of God and is interceding for us. Paul says, I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Is there one person, though, that can keep us from Christ? There is. There's one person who can say no to Jesus, to say no to his blood, say no to his grace, say no to his mercy, and say, no, I don't want it. I realize this is probably being recorded. There's a man that I know who came to Christ as a teenager. And because of his own rebellious choices, he walked away from God. And for most of his life, he didn't serve God. But within about 3 weeks of his death, as he knew he was dying of cancer, he came back to God. He came back to the Lord. And it made doing the sermon, the funeral, so much easier. If you've been walking away from the Lord, as long as there's breath, there's hope. If you've not been serving the Lord, choose to know him and love him and serve him with zeal and enthusiasm and courage and strength, because it's really hard to be lost if your confidence is in Jesus. You can overwhelmingly conquer. It's hard to be lost when we're fixing our eyes on Jesus. the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. So, are you going home? Or are you walking away from home? Are you serving God? Are you going to come back home? Some of you have never known salvation of your souls. We sure would like to encourage you to think about it seriously today. And for most of you young people, you're not going to die tomorrow. But young people do die tomorrow. And some of the rest of us, we're a lot closer to home than we may realize. And so let us live each day full of grace and hope and confidence in Jesus our Lord. Thank you for listening so patiently and kindly. If you're not in Jesus, you're without hope and without God in the world. But in Christ, you have every spiritual blessing. You have confidence in the blood of Jesus that saves us. It's hard to be lost. Won't you choose to be saved as we stand and sing?